This is the Norris Group's Real Estate Investor Radio Show, the award-winning show dedicated to thought leaders shaping the real estate industry and local experts revealing their insider tips to succeed in an ever-changing real estate market. Hosted by author, investor, and hard money lender, Bruce Norris.
On Friday, September 27th, the Norris Group proudly presents its 12th annual award-winning black tie event, I Survived Real Estate. An incredible lineup of industry experts will join Bruce and Aaron Norris to discuss perplexing industry trends, head-scratching legislation, massive tech disruption, and opportunities emerging for real estate professionals. All proceeds from the event benefit Make-A-Wish and St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. This event is not possible without the generous help of the following platinum partners: the San Diego Creative Real Estate Investors Association, Invest Club, Think Realty, Coach Fullerton, Property Radar, the Apartment Owners Association, MVT Productions, and Realty 411. Visit isurvivedrealestate.com for event information.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris, and today our special guest is Stephen Wagner. Stephen is the 2019 president of the Appraisal Institute and has served in various roles within the National and Hoosier State chapter. He teaches general qualifying education and advanced level appraisal courses and seminars for the Appraisal Institute. He's a graduate of Purdue University. He has been a chief appraiser for a regional bank and currently is a senior appraiser in the appraisal firm of Terzo and Bologna. I knew I was going to do that, in Indianapolis. Stephen, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Bruce. Good to be here. Appreciate it.
If I were an appraiser in 2007 and happened to have an accident and put me in a coma and I woke up today and began my career again, would I recognize the industry?
Well, heaven forbid that would have happened, but no, you probably wouldn't. We've had significant change regulatory-wise, you know, technology has had an impact over the last 10, 12 years. It definitely would be a different realm today, no question.
What were some of the things that were implemented, you know, right after the real estate crash, say after 2009, that were implemented that are still a part of the appraisal world?
Well, you know, the regulations tightened up quite a bit with a focus on appraiser independence and so forth. Some of that certainly remains. Absolutely, it remains in terms of appraiser independence. But in recent times here, the last year or so, we've seen some significant changes in the regulatory structure. You know, Dodd-Frank, a lot of that was rolled back in terms of the financial industry. And so today, the threshold levels for loan transactions that require appraisals has been raised significantly. On the commercial real estate side, last March it came through. They took the threshold from $250,000 loan transaction value up to $500,000, doubling it. More recently, we've now seen where the agencies have taken the residential loan threshold from $250,000 up to $400,000. And also, in just the last month or two, we've seen where the NCUA made a move, the National Credit Union Administration made a move to go from $250,000 loan transaction value all the way up to $1 million, so quadrupled that rate. So things are significantly different as far as when an appraisal is actually required. On the residential side, you know, things are changing too in terms of what you see with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac requirements. So yes, it's a different day.
If I'm an appraiser in 2007, I don't know what an appraisal threshold is.
So an appraisal threshold is for, you know, the banking agencies, and what that for a federally related transaction, if the loan amount is greater than $250,000, was the case, then an appraisal was required. Under $250,000, it could go with an evaluation. And as I said, it's significantly different now because those thresholds have been raised significantly on the residential side, 250 to 4, on commercial real estate side, 250 to 500. Commercial real estate side with the NCUA has gone from 250 to a million. So if you have $1 million transaction, loan transaction value, then they're required to have an appraisal. Anything below that, they go with an evaluation. Similarly for the 500,000 side with respect to the OCC, FDIC, and the Fed. Well, and evaluations can essentially be done by just about anybody that has real estate knowledge. So we're definitely looking at a different stage here in terms of risk mitigation, safety and soundness, and frankly, consumer protection as well.
You know, what's interesting about it, it seems to me that picking a number and saying that's a national policy, that doesn't seem reasonable to me, because let's say in Florida, median price in Florida is, I'll pick a number close to it, right, say 250. So a 400 level, not needing an appraisal would be a huge percentage of the transactions. In California, with a median price of 600, it would be far less than half. So how do they, why do they attach it to a number as opposed to some other, you know, differentiation in a state? So in San Francisco, where the median price is 2 million, you'd be appraising everything. And in a place like Texas, you might be appraising nothing.
So in general, the requirements are going to require something, an evaluation or an appraisal, depending upon the risk profile of the property and some things like that, credit concerns and those kinds of things. But, you know, you're right. I've heard various justifications, one being that, that they looked at it from an inflationary perspective because the threshold levels have been in place since about 1990 or so, the early 90s. And so they've used inflation as being a justification. But there are a large percentage of transactions, potentially, that won't really have an appraisal, which at the end of the day is certainly the gold standard in property valuation, real property valuation. There are other things that they're using these days, as you know, AVMs, automated valuation models. Evaluations, which have a lower requirement in terms of development of the value opinion and reporting requirements and those sorts of things. So evaluations, not an appraisal. And in terms of consumer protection, particularly in the 1-4 family bracket, residential-wise, clearly it's the gold standard. And certainly many commercial properties are complex and require due diligence in terms of analysis and so forth by a valuation professional. Some of the rural areas or lower density markets, they have significantly lower loan transaction values, but potentially the risks are big there too. And when you have the number of loans you just implied a moment ago, a lot of smaller loans adds up to a bigger problem too. So if you don't have adequate risk mitigation in place, it's a question of safety and soundness.
Well, one of the things about appraisal is you usually show up to the property and actually visually see what it is you're looking at. Are are many of the other alternatives not really doing that?
Bruce, forgive me. I think I heard the question, but I think you said something about viewing the property versus some of the other types of valuations, like maybe an ABM where you don't actually see the property. Is that?
Yeah, that's basically the idea that, you know, when an appraiser, part of his job is to visually see the property, hopefully the inside, and when you're doing another method, you don't have to, you may not have to even do that.
That's true. And again, that's part of the reason that we always say that the appraisal is the gold standard, having an appraiser out on site to see the property. Now, there may be some instances where actually seeing the property is of less import. You know, there's nothing that says that an appraiser has to inspect a property. So you might be, for example, monitoring a portfolio on a quarterly basis. And, you know, unless there's some substantial change in the markets and or the condition of the property, seeing it again might not be necessary. But certainly on a first look basis, a purchase transaction basis, or a new loan basis in general, seeing the property and understanding some of the nuances that have an impact on value relative to condition, functional concerns, and so forth, size, all of those kinds of things where you get that information firsthand, it sure is an awful lot better to have an appraiser's eyeballs on the property, no question.
I'll give you a real-life example of necessity of seeing something. I've been in the house buying business for a long time and received a phone call and discussed the numbers with the gentleman, and could even see a picture of the property on the computer and looked at the numbers, and it was great. We came to an agreement over the phone. He was in another state. I went to see the property, which I intended to close the day after. It was no longer there, actually.
It was no longer what?
It was no longer there. The city had demolished it.
Yeah, that can be a problem, you know, if nothing else, in certain segments of particularly, like, we'll say maybe an equity loan, a home equity loan or something like that, just having an appraiser out on site may be very helpful because, you know, we've found where properties have literally burned down and they're not there anymore. Any number of reasons like that. If for nothing else, verification that the property is still there and largely the way it was perceived to be can be critical, no question.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a hard phone call to give the guy too. You know, by the way, your house no longer exists. Appraisal management companies, are they still with us? And what has been the impact on the industry?
So appraisal management companies, AMCs, are more prolific today than certainly in 2007, I would say. And there are a significant number of them. In many ways, they came about with the notion of providing an extra layer, kind of a firewall for appraiser independence. You know, you could go through an AMC, a lender could, and the AMC took care of choosing the appraiser and possibly some of the review process as well. Different phases of the overall appraisal process could be taken care of by the appraisal management company. In some ways, some appraisal management companies wind up being a middleman that's probably not helpful, but there are some good AMCs, and in that regard can be helpful, particularly to maybe smaller lending institutions that don't have the availability resources to have an in-house appraisal staff and so forth, could be useful in that regard. In some ways, though, there's been a middleman problem where appraisal fees are mixed around, and what's actually showing up on closing statements as being appraisal fees are actually fees to an entire management company fee, and the appraiser is getting a fraction of it. And so the impression is that appraisals are much more expensive than they actually are in some cases. There's also the problem with AMCs in a lot of cases has been speed and price being the determinants, primary determinants of who gets an appraisal. And that's not always, speed and price is not always the best way to go about choosing an appraisal or an appraiser. You can have it fast and cheap, but it begs the quality, or you're going to have it fast, cheap, and good quality. And so sometimes appraisal management companies have been pretty helpful, but in some instances, it has not been the best situation.
It's sad, too, to me, because I've been in the industry for a long time, and we've done, say, 1,500 transactions where we'll need an appraisal for a private loan. And we predominantly have relied on one appraiser for a great majority of that time. And the reason we used him is he was an expert. He was familiar with rehabs, and he was familiar with the areas, and he didn't have any agenda but to tell us what the truth was. And I wanted it. He told me in a letter one time, he says, "You literally, after having done 14,000 appraisals, you are the only company who has not directed me to a value ever." And I just thought, wow, that's kind of a sad statement. But if I had to use an appraisal management company, I would not be able to direct myself to the best talent. I would have to get directed by other methodologies. Is that correct?
Yeah, the comment that you made about not being directed to a number is disconcerting, as you intimated. You know, appraisers provide independent, impartial, and objective opinions of value. That is the way it's supposed to be. And for a long time, there were, abuses in that regard. Now, in the lending industry, it is required that the lending institution, who is the client, order the appraisal, or some agent thereof order the appraisal. If you're talking about a private situation where maybe you just want to know a value for your own edification in terms of making a buying decision and so forth, you can have direct contact with an expert. But because of appraiser independence regulations, a borrower can't go out, get an appraisal, take it to a bank and say, "I need to get a loan." That mitigates the appraiser independence notion. And so what you're doing, you can do. I mean, if you're interested in, financing property yourself, and you want to get an appraisal done on a private situation like that, you can make that kind of contact. And, appraisers are a great resource in that regard. As you mentioned a moment ago, they're the expert in their particular markets and so forth. So you can do that. But any federally regulated lender, you cannot actually engage an appraisal and then take it into that federally regulated lender.
Are the management companies able to direct an appraiser to the best talent if it's their choosing, or is it a random selection that they have to make as well?
So I think you asked about a lending company. Can you ask them to use a particular appraiser?
Okay, yes.
I'm sorry. I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you, Bruce. I apologize.
No, I'm sorry, too.
Yeah. So Actually, no. That would be what's known as a kind of a borrower-directed appraisal or a borrower direction as far as obtaining an appraiser. What you can ask for as a borrower is to make sure that the lender is using someone that is qualified. And you could ask, say, for an appraisal institute designated member to be the appraiser. But that's about it as far as any of that kind of request is concerned. Otherwise, it impinges on appraiser independence.
Okay. There's broker price opinions and evaluations and other terms that are used. I'm just curious about what percentage of those are used in lieu of appraisals, and where are they actually allowed in place of an appraisal?
Well, again, as I was mentioning, as far as lending institutions are concerned, under the threshold levels, they can go with an evaluation. They can do it for renewals of loans. Sometimes, regardless of the loan amount, they can use evaluations. Typically, they're not able to use the BPO. That's been stipulated as not being an actual evaluation, according to the regulators. But it is my understanding that there is a substantial ratio of evaluations that are used greater than appraisals. I can't tell you an actual number, but from what I understand, it's a significant amount of evaluations that are being done. So it's a broad market, and appraisers can do evaluations, and currently they can do them under USPAP. Some states are actually moving toward saying that an appraiser doesn't actually have to do an evaluation consistent with USPAP. They're exempted from it. Some states have moved toward that. There's a substantial market out there for evaluations, and we think that making it easier for appraisers to provide evaluations is a good thing on many levels, particularly because of the demand for them, and secondly, who best to provide value opinions other than appraisers, other than just somebody with real estate knowledge. So we're a proponent of it being easier for appraisers to do evaluations. They can do them right now in the form of restricted appraisal reports. There is a way, but it's not exactly a level playing field at the moment in terms of what appraisers have to do versus others.
Okay. The emergence of iBuyers, how has that impacted the appraisal business?
iBuyers, how has it impacted appraisers?
Yes.
It's, not entirely clear yet, but it's definitely going to have some impact, I would say. From what I understand, the iBuyers don't use, any kind of valuation from an appraiser. They typically, from what I understand, use AVMs, and they may use other tools as well. I don't know, but typically that's what I've been hearing they use. Here's where I can say that there's going to be some impact on appraisal, and that is that a lot of these transactions where the iBuyer company buys the property, and from what I understand, the seller is going to have to pay a fee. Sometimes as high as 7-10%, and then typically it's my understanding that the iBuyer companies are paying somewhere in the range of, we'll say, 80 to 100% of market value or their perception of it. So it's certainly got a cost associated with it, but it may be beneficial to that particular seller, because maybe they have, before they can buy another house, they've got to sell one. They're not stuck maybe with some of the costs associated with selling a home, you know, not having your home sold and having to move and put things in storage and so on and so forth, other types of bridge loans, all those kinds of things that may save them that kind of hassle, if you will.
Clearly,
there's a cost associated with it. Now, here's what happens, particularly in the residential sector, is the Fannie Mae requirements are that you have to report, it's a USPAP requirement that you have to report the sale and transfer history of the subject property up to 3 years back. But for the GSEs, Fannie Freddie, you have to report the sale and transfer history of the comparable sales that you're using as an appraiser. So let's say that an iBuyer transaction happens at, we'll keep the numbers simple here for the sake of argument, $100,000. And 30 to 45 days later, they sell that house after maybe doing a couple of things to it or not, and they sell the house for whatever it is, say $120,000. Well, an appraiser goes to use that transaction as a comparable, they're going to have to report that it sold previously and hopefully be able to determine that, you know, it was an iBuyer transaction, and that may account for why the sale price was so low compared to the current sale price some 45 days later. Appraisers are going to have to do their due diligence to find out how the discounts actually are and, you know, what kind of fees were involved and so forth that impacted the price. So it'll have an impact on valuation one way or another in terms of the appraisal process.
Okay. Stephen, we've run out of time. I actually really do respect appraisers. I rely on them when I'm in an area that I don't know. We just built a house in Florida. Before we did it, I just hired an appraiser. I said, tell me what this house is going to be worth on this lot. And I felt comfortable with somebody's independent decision telling me what the value was. And I think that's a big statement, because I would rather have them tell me honestly than somebody that had a vested interest in a number coming in at a certain amount. So I have a lot of respect for the industry, and thanks for taking on the role of an industry that's kind of taken quite a hit in the last few years, you know, with the assumption that, you know, we need to correct everything, whereas probably a great percentage of the people do a great job and know exactly what they're doing. So, again, thank you for your service to our industry. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's excellent to hear of your support and use of appraiser professionals. And I've certainly enjoyed being here with you on the line today. And thank you very much for myself and on behalf of the Appraisal Institute.
Okay. Stephen, thanks a lot.
The Norris Group originates and services loans in California and Florida under California DRE License 01219911, Florida Mortgage Lender License 1577, and NMLS License 1623669. For more information on hard money lending, go to thenorrisgroup.com and click the Hard Money tab.
The Norris Group would like to thank its gold sponsors for supporting I Survived Real Estate, Coldwell Banker Town & Country, In a Day Development, Inland Valley Association of Realtors, Keystone CPA, Las Brisas Escrow, LA South RIA, Michael Ryan and Associates, NorCal RIA, NSDREI, Orange County Real Estate Investors, Pacific Premier Bank, Pasadena Phoebe, Shenbaum Group, SJREI, Spinnaker Loans, South OC RIA, UDirect IRA Services, White House Catering, Wilson Investment Properties. See isurvivedrealestate.com for event information.
For more information on hard money loans and upcoming events with the Norris Group, check out thenorrisgroup.com. For information on passive investing with trust deeds, visit tngtrustdeeds.com.